Accession number 17643, Reel 4.
Mr. Morton, Reel 4.
Dixie said, no, I certainly can't come back, stay here. I've got a German here who escorted me through the lines, and he's got to go back anyway. So the general let him go, and he came back through the lines and joined up again with us, and still used his bike to go from one place to another, seeing that we were all right. It was a wonderful thing to do, especially as he was already suffering from MS. And eventually, I can't remember, we were in some barn or other, when somebody said in the morning, I can see tanks on the horizon. And we all piled out. And then an American corporal came up in a jeep. And as he arrived, all the guards handed over their rifles to the nearest prisoner. It was a lovely thing to see. They realized the war was over. They'd been waiting for it for a long time. And then it was a matter of every man for himself. We walked around for a bit, and we found that we were very friendly. The Germans, civilians, were very friendly to us. They gave us food and that sort of thing. And eventually we saw a number of prisoners on a lorry, which they'd commandeered. We joined them, and we drove to Nuremberg. That's right. We found ourselves at Nuremberg, which was a camp from which they were sending prisoners home. We were given a bed in a very sparse-looking sort of barrack room, and told that our names would be called under the window, and then we would be on our way. Well, a man came under the window several times that day, calling out lists of names, none of which got any response from us. And it turned out in the end that he'd been calling them under the wrong window, and our names had been called over the other side of the barrack square. Still, the day after that, we did manage to get a lift in a lorry, yes, which was in a convoy of lorries. And we set off. We didn't know quite where we were going. And then we were stopped at a crossroads by a British convoy passing over, after which our driver said, well, where are we supposed to be going? We didn't know. And he said, well, I was just told to follow the lorry in front, and that's disappeared now. I don't know where it is. So we were stuck. But we said, well, anyway, just keep driving and we'll find somewhere. And we did eventually find ourselves on a sort of flying field where there were Dakotas landing and taking off from time to time. And we spent the night under canvas. There were a lot of tents along one side of the field. And the next day we managed to get one of these Dakotas to fly us to Brussels. We were told that Brussels was a good place. And by Jove, it was. Brussels, the transit camp there to send prisoners home, was beautifully arranged. The very first thing that happened was that each of us had chatting to us a delectable young lady. I mean, we hadn't seen, much less spoken to, a girl for the, 4 or 5 years, some of us. And to have one actually chatting to us was wonderful. They were Canadians, of course. It was a Canadian camp. And there was everything at that camp. There were shops where you could buy things to take home. There was an ice cream parlor available. There was a cinema. There was absolutely everything. And I could have spent another couple of weeks there very happily. But anyway, time was passing, and I had walked around Brussels the night before. It happened to be VE night, we were told, although it didn't mean a thing to us. And three or four of us just went out to explore the town, there were dance bands playing here and there. We went into a nightclub and saw what was going on. But now came the time when we really should be getting ourselves home. And we found that there were Lancasters, I think it must have been, landing from time to time, and eventually we were put in one of those. I know I was lying under the radio set. They weren't equipped with seating, of course, and so it wasn't a very comfortable flight, but we did land, and we were told we were in England. I can't remember where it was we landed, but anyway, that was that. We were free.
In what condition were you by the time you got back to England?
Thin, but happy. I wasn't ill in any sense, but I was certainly looking very gaunt, you know, a bit like Belsen victims. We all were, because food had been very short towards the end.
Did your POW experience change your opinion of the Germans?
I had never thought of them as enemies. Well, of course, as a fighter pilot, it was entirely different from being a bomber pilot or anything like that. You knew you were on equal terms with the other chap, and it was a sort of sporting engagement.
So you never felt any hatred of the Germans?
Oh, never. The only ones I didn't like were the ones that had recently been Hitler Youth types. They used to like marching through the camp, through the huts rather, and shouting, "Raus, raus, Appell!" You know, to show that they were boss. And that was earlier in the war when they really were about to win.